9:08 Central African Time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Under the Radar here on Radio Islam International. But later on in the hour, we find out about a fascinating scholar and da'i who pioneered da'wah work in Japan, passed away on Friday. His name was Sheikh Ni'matullah Yirt. We also find out about the broader landscape of Islam and da'wah work in Japan. That's coming up in a few minutes' time. Right now, we continue keeping our eye and our radar on the developments in South Africa, and still so much more to unpack, so many areas, so many open wounds that have not yet been attended to, and they ought to be attended to and need to be prioritized in South Africa to avoid, as many people warn, the next big outbreak that could even put the previous one that has caused so much mayhem in South Africa to look small. So we this evening want to look at the aspect of xenophobia, if you'd like, and attacks on foreign businesses during the latest looting rampage. Obviously, in the broader scheme of things, in the political discussions and analysis that has been brought to the fore, perhaps this is an angle that has not received that much attention, and we want to find out exactly what has occurred or what has not occurred when it comes to foreign-owned businesses and businessmen and business people in South Africa in the wake of the latest looting here in South Africa. Joining us to discuss this once again, very kindly joining us, is Ahmed Sheikh, who is the spokesperson of the African Diaspora Forum. Ahmed, shukran for your time. Assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, Brother Ibrahim.
A pleasure speaking to you, Amir, and more than anything else, we obviously need your direction on this particular topic, because there is indication that they definitely foreign nationals in South Africa and their businesses had been affected by the looting. The extent to which, I'm not sure if there is credible data available. What can you tell us about the scope of the foreign businesses and businessmen, business people being affected by this?
Jazakallah khairan, and assalamu alaikum to your listeners also. Brother Ibrahim, to be sincere, we as a migrant, especially the migrant in business, the attacks on migrant interests in South Africa have been ongoing from 2008, as it was documented after the massive xenophobic attack, of which more than 100,000 migrants were uprooted from their communities, and over 62 actually killed. And after the mass xenophobic attack in 2008, on every year we have been actually seeing or experiencing resurgent attacks on the migrant interests in the country, either nationally or in pockets of provinces. Very recently, it was actually during the celebration of the Youth Day in Soweto, where at least the migrants once again came under attack and many shops were looted. But to be precise, this year we share it with actually the whole national. We share with multi-billion actually owned businesses, corporates. So if you look at actually the side of the migrant, the attacks on the interest is very minimal as compared to actually the attack that we have never seen before. There is loss of lives among the diaspora community, and the one that we have now documented at all of, 8 of them actually in KwaZulu-Natal, 4 here in Gauteng. We have seen businesses actually, large-scale businesses like the so-called cash and carries or wholesalers belonging to the migrant actually looted and burned. We have seen small, actually medium enterprises all. But besides the toll of number that have been documented, we also get in calls, especially from the KwaZulu-Natal, especially in areas that the migrants were affected most, where they are saying they are closer to hundreds of actually bodies that actually they think are of actually people of migrant or foreign origin, and we need actually to disseminate information and send leadership to come and still identify. So still the situation is not actually earmarked properly, but the thing is we're still actually counting our losses, which goes into billions, and many may not even have actually ways to restart their businesses. But alhamdulillah, kullu ni'matin laha ni'mah, every actually ni'mat of Allah, there is also shortfall, and we regard this as a shortfall, and we shall overcome, inshallah.
You mentioned, as I mean, anybody would be able to see in this particular round of attacks, KwaZulu-Natal being the worst affected. You've got more data perhaps on the distribution in terms of migrant businesses and being affected across the country, which areas besides in KwaZulu-Natal and then besides KwaZulu-Natal most seriously affected?
In KwaZulu-Natal, mostly affected are actually within the Durban CBD enclosure, your Inc, your Inanda, into Zuma, Kwamashu, you know, as far as actually, you know, Ulu, Umlazi. But if you go to the main, actually, areas like Mbageni is where we lost lives. In the middle land, Ushaka Kral, and, you know, the neighboring areas, that is actually also an area that our members... I can say there is no actually township in Durban that our members did not come actually under attack. Remember, they are all over. Coming back here in Houghton, areas that our members were affected most is actually in the West Rand area, your greater Soweto, actually areas like also East Rand, areas like Fort Loras, Kwatema, and surrounding areas. But the businesses are either somewhat evacuated immediately, and then others were actually looted and they could not because they came under attack. But most affected members that actually over-exceed in the number thousands is actually in KwaZulu-Natal. But alhamdulillah, as now we're experiencing a relative peace or slightly stability, those who have means are now going back to restart their businesses. But there will be numbers that cannot restart, and alhamdulillah, we are in talk with some of the brothers in KwaZulu-Natal. And here in Gauteng, like the Muslim Association of South Africa, we have also seen a committee that visited us from Adol Masjid, actually, committee. Mm-hmm. And we are trying to see how we can at least assist some of the brothers who cannot restart their businesses to once again come back to their feet.
Amir, as far as the motivations for this, again, some of the previous bouts that you've spoken about, you know, one of the obviously there's always an element of criminality, there's opportunism, but the xenophobic flavor was much, much more apparent. The anti-migrant attitude were much more prevalent in some of the previous encounters. This time round, you know, was that element explicit, would you feel, or was it just a byproduct of you know, the atmosphere that was created by the instigators of this looting?
To be sincere, while we can actually give it to names like aprophobia, xenophobia, aporophobia or any sort of phobia, but the fact of the matter is this time round we share it with the nation, especially in the two provinces that are affected most. And yes, the issue of being a migrant, and you know, the forewarnings were always there and we were under attack all the time, but you cannot now label it dislikes of foreigners because we will be actually so selfish considering the fact that we are among the least attacked, actually, in our community when we compared to well-established businesses that have either been looted, vandalized, or burnt. So the name is, this is a byproduct of the so-called Free Jacob Zuma, which had criminality, which was well-planned, you know, well-actually executed. And still the fear is that, you know, while we may go back and reestablish our businesses, there is no assurance or guarantee that tomorrow we will not come under attack again. But we put all our hopes in actually to Allah and hope that at least peace will prevail.
I mean, I've been reading a lot of the analyses that have been coming out in the wake of these attacks, what caused them, and obviously the social scientist digging deep in providing the rationale and the trajectory that characterizes looting in South Africa and other parts of the world as well. Now, one point that is brought out is that while South Africans painfully have tasted it on a large scale in this round of looting, this idea of looting and destruction of businesses has been used as a tactic time and time again, and in most of the previous rounds, it's been migrant businesses that have been in the firing line. And the term that has been used is that in many sectors, and in a kind of popular understanding in some areas, this tactic of looting and destruction of businesses has come to be socially acceptable.
Brother Ibrahim, yeah, correct. You know, when it affected us, many did not see that these things may come and spread to them. It is now, I think, the fifth year when they started attacks on the trucks, purporting that, these trucks are the drivers, are majority actually the foreigners, cutting the chains of supplies, banning them actually on the main roads toward KwaZulu-Natal. When the attack on our businesses was ever resurging, nobody actually thought it may also come. So one aspect is that there is actually lack of solidarity, especially among our Muslim Ummah when it comes to attack on one of them. And one other worry that actually I have, that may be a byproduct of actually this recent arrest, is unnecessary messages dividing the Ummah that I see, of now dividing us along ethnic lines while we're a minority, and others calling themselves more indigenous Muslims, and aligning majority to the black Muslims and saying that, we are under attack from a segment of the community, which is the Indian Muslim. So it's not even Islamophobia, but I know this is an issue that was supposed to be addressed even long, the inter-Muslim racism, but unfortunately we did not see all these things can spiral up and actually, become something that affects us. But now we waked up, and I think maybe one thing we will learn from the recent unrest is that at least the unity of the Muslim, the Ukhuwah, is most important, and we will come out actually and do not see things in colors, but we will actually see, we are Muslims, united and bonded by the Kalima to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Another idea then, building on what you've just said, the looting of trucks, burning of trucks previous to the current round, and then obviously the rounds upon rounds and the ongoing attacks on migrant businesses across South Africa, does that suggest, is it a far conclusion to make, or could it be justified to say that these tactics have been tried over the years, they've been perfected over the years, and it is kind of the execution previously and the lessons learned, unfortunately, in pulling off these tactics on the migrant business community that has contributed to, in inverted commas, the success and the mayhem, the success of the mayhem this time round on such a big scale?
Brother Ibrahim, to be sincere, yourself being a South African, even though you may not be an old, to be, somebody who have actually been in exile, but you have been in the country for so long, and you understand the culture of the country, in which at least when they want an attention, the way they addressed it, in post-apartheid as we read it, is that they have been always violent. And, one way of only getting, what they wanted is actually was the fact of toying and making sure, they sabotage and ban this. The same culture is still prevalent 27 years down the lane. And the reason why our shops were actually under attack all the time is that whenever there was service delivery aspect, they will quench their thirst after a long day of actually toying. they will ransack our shop and actually quench. So this is a culture that have been actually there before, inherited from great-grandfather, and it is still continuing. And one aspect, even recently during the youth day celebration on the 16th, one actually wording that were coming from the MKVA was that actually the only way we can reach our government is actually to attack the migrant interests. So once we attack the foreign actually business owners in South Africa, the international media will actually be there to highlight it, and our government from the presidency to the premier and the executive mayor will be there. So there is a culture of actually getting whatever they want through a violent means, which is inherited actually from the past and from one generation, passed from one generation to the other. So ours did not perfect anything. It is just a continuation. We are the weakest link. Most of our business guys are not actually armed. We invest in areas that at least, you know, have got high crime rate, high unemployment rate. And they know that if one is killed, their business will actually be still continuing. The fact is that even though they attack these businesses, there will be no much actually. We will not pursue much of justice because of actually the corrupt nature and lack of prosecution and all that. So there is nothing actually that have perfected this. But, you know, this is a culture inherited from the past and passed from one generation to the other.
But then, Amir, obviously people would say that the recent events would, you know, bring the nation to a critical point, and again underscore that, you know, leaving issues not dealt with decisively only brings up you know, much greater backlash and much uglier backlash later on. Now, if we were to take a cue from the tactics that the government has used to be able to respond to violence that was previously meted out against the migrant community, you know, sometimes the police were totally ineffective. In other cases, you know, they evacuated the business owners but offered no protection whatsoever for premises, which were then looted and which were brought to the ground. And thereafter we saw pieces of legislation being floated about which sought to not deal with the underlying issues, but rather limit the engagement of foreign-owned businesses in the townships per se. I mean, if we take a cue from that and what arguably is a very lackluster performance from the government, and if the government is going to use, you know, similar approaches to deal with the looting which has now hit South Africa on a bigger scale, and as you mentioned, hitting the South African-owned businesses, you know, much harder this time, that doesn't inspire any confidence.
No, truly it doesn't actually inspire any confidence. Remember, brother, South Africa, after many years and the gruesome upright, have actually attained independence in 1994 and joined the League of the Independent African States in 1995. But it seems actually 27 years into democracy, now it wants to join also the League of actually the impoverished, poverty-stricken, you know, hunger-stricken African actually nation that have been actually there. Because when most South African talks, they actually see South Africa that as an enclave, an island on its own. And this is something I myself come under when I was asked, where are you from? And then you say Somalia. And then you ask a South African and he will say, you know, no, I'm from... Oh, you are from Africa, as if, you know, he's not from this part of the continent himself. So maybe South Africans now want to join that league because in terms of actually democracy, in terms of infrastructure, in terms of economy, they are the best actually in the continent. And when you see such actually unrest happening and not actually much done by actually the political elite or the led administration, and there is also bickering and, you know, division among itself, then we need to actually show that many international companies relocating to actually a stable neighboring countries, you know, the economy collapsing in this country, and South Africa joining the League of the African Poverty-Stricken Countries, so that it will not actually maintain the status actually it had in this 27. So, in fact, if this current administration will not deal with this matter decisively, then we will actually see South Africa also joining that league that I mentioned of Africa that attained independence in the 60s and the 70s, and still, you know, majority of their masses are actually lives within the poverty line.
Last one, then, as people, business people who contribute to the economy of this country, people who share the same amenities, share the same land, and essentially, are residents and citizens of this land. What is it that your members are saying as, you know, initiatives that they are involved in themselves, priorities that they are involved in themselves, and also contributions, ideas that they're putting forward towards the national discourse at this critical moment?
Being actually the diaspora leader, we also be part of actually advisory by it to certain ministerial within the security clusters, and where opinion is actually sought or where we valued or see, you know, our contribution valuable, we will also contribute to that. But the fact of the matter is, at least there is nothing much happening towards that, and the status seems to be it happened, it is quiet now, and life continues actually as usual. But at least we have a lot of contribution to make, because we consider ourselves part and parcel of actually South Africa, and where our opinion is actually thought, we will actually advise and give, you know, important contribution that we think. Because coming from, you know, countries in Timor for the past actually 30 years, a majority of us actually of the African diaspora coming from such countries, we can at least even give an advice or an idea, and even advise the leadership that, you know, the route they are currently taking is the route that our countries have taken in 30 years, in 20 years, and it's not actually the best. And South Africans, and as the government, they must jealously safeguard actually their interest, which is actually being the best economy and the best democracy in the continent.
Abir, I thank you so much for your time, obviously giving us a broader picture in terms of the reports coming to us from the ground, and that's obviously essential, important to be able to piece together the extent of what has occurred, cut through the smog, and obviously from that, rebuild holistically as a nation, and you know, show the urgency of that. Thank you so much for your time, and all the best in your efforts. Shukran, assalamu alaikum.
And may I also put it lastly, may Allah actually his soul rest in perfect peace. I had you mentioning actually the passing on of Sheikh the Da'i Ni'matullah of Shaban, inshallah. So I will also add my condolences to that, inshallah.
بارك الله فيك شكرا شيخ أمير السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
تعالى وبركاته